Welcome back, everybody, to the Geek Legacy Lounge. I am your host, Stephen Janes, and today's guest is actress, singer, songwriter, and comedian, Andrea Gabriel. Gabriel's acting career includes a recurring role on the hit show Lost, appearances on Gossip Girl, House, Two Broke Girls, and others. She also had a role in the box office hit film Twilight Breaking Dawn, and has recently released her first music video titled Clever Girl. Andrea talks about her time on Lost, her reactions to the Twilight fan base, and her ability to blend music and comedy in one delightful little package. In the Geek Legacy Lounge, here is Andrea Gabriel. So let's start off with this new music video, Clever Girl, that you have. It's kind of, it's telling the story about someone who really, really, really falls in love way, 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 way too fast. I think I got the right amount there. I counted a couple of times. Just tell me a little bit about the production, the reasoning behind it, you know, why you wrote it and all that stuff.
Well, I did a lot of comedy when I was in New York, a lot of stage comedy, and it was just sort of the way my career was carving out itself there. And then when I came out here, kind of the first couple of roles that I got were very dramatic. And so I guess it just seemed like I was having a hard time being seen in any other way, like, except as, like, you know, Nadia, basically, which was absolutely fine, because, I mean, I loved the character, but it's limiting because, you know, I can't just be up for every Nadia-ish role in town and then just, like, sit still, because what's really adorable, and I say adorable in a tongue-in-cheek way, what's adorable about Hollywood is it's like they know you're acting, they pay you to act, and then once you act, they're like, oh, that's who they are. And it's like, no, I was acting, remember? That's like, I do different characters, and that I'm actually somebody else. So it's like they want to see that before they invest their time and energy and money in that new character. So I was just like, well, I want to just introduce myself, who I am as a person, so that at least, you know, there's a forum where it can be recognized now, because I'm never going to be cast as just me, you know, no one's going to, you know, well, maybe, hopefully one day.
But, eventually.
Yeah, hopefully one day we'll have our own show or whatever, but I don't even know if that would interest me. I just wanted people to understand that, you know, I'm more of a character actress than anything, and this is actually who I am.
Yeah, it is, like you said, a bit of a change, because people will mostly know you from, there was the Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn Part 2, you mentioned Lost, you were also in House, and a few other shows that, you know, are very minuscule on the comedic touch. And then you have this video out there, which is kind of a different thing, but it's good, it's light, it's funny. I mean, how much fun did you have shooting this whole thing?
I had a lot of fun.
I could tell. It was pretty obvious.
It was so much fun. It was just it was also, like, because it was my brainchild, it was really fun being involved in that side creatively as well. It was directed by an awesome chick named Kelly Ford, who I work with a lot. But, you know, like, she just came on board, and I just kind of, you know, expressed, you know, I gave the storyboard and how I wanted it to go, and then I went in and edited it, so we just sort of got all the different snippets and the different characters, along with the different guys that the characters are associated with, which is kind of one of my favorite things, like putting together a collage. And then, so it was just really my brainchild, and yeah, it lost me a lot of hours sleep, but it was so much fun.
Yeah, and those are the projects that really have the most fulfillment, I think, is you can look back at it and say, oh, well, I put in, you know, let's just say 100 plus hours into this project, and it's a 5-minute video. But again, you have to look at it by the end of the day and just say, I did this. This was, to use your words, brainchild from start to finish. How fulfilling is that? How good does that make you feel?
It's awesome. It's so much fun, because it's always nice, and it's, I mean, acting is emotionally taxing at times, and, you know, but most of the time, let's be honest, it's easy. You know what I mean? We're not, you know, busting slate on the side of the road here, you know? It's like, we have it pretty cush, you know, but one of the parts of that is you come in and you're the cog in someone else's wheel. You're kind of just, you know, a part of the machine, and your job is to do something very creative and personal in a very limited space, which is, you know, that's part of the skill of acting, is that you have to find a way to be as expressive as you can under lots of different conditions and lots of different other people's opinions and input. But when you just do your own thing and you're, you know, executive producing your own thing, it's just like, oh, this is what I want. So when you're acting in it, it almost feels like, oh, wait, I have to step in and do this. Okay.
Hey,
you know, you're just so busy kind of being the puppet master. So it was a very Deepak Chopra moment.
But then,
being the watcher and being the doer.
But then you have all this power and you can sit there like, all right, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I need my star actor.
I don't like it.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. I don't like it. I need you to do it better. Oh, wait, I'm also in the production. So
I know. Directing myself, or like, you know, instead of like, I'm like, no, let's do another one. That was awful. We're doing another one.
And they have to listen because you have that power.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just fun being able to trust, because it also lends a level of trust to your own choices. I mean, yeah, you collaborate with other people, but, you know, you have to trust your own voice. You can't just go in there and be like, I don't know, whatever you guys think. You know, you have to really kind of zone in and be like, okay, no, I don't like that.
So writing stuff like this, whether they be music videos or short productions, is that something that you would like to pursue in the future?
Totally. Right now I'm working on a pilot for a web series that I'm doing, that I wrote and that I would be producing and starring in also. So that's right now that's the cause of my lack of sleep, but this is sort of the stress point, but I mean, I know I'll be really stoked once it's all in the can. We can just edit it. But I mean, I'm a masochist. I love this stuff.
I've always said I will gladly sleep when I'm dead, so I got a long ways to go there. In the meantime, I'm just going to do everything that I can.
I'll sleep right now.
Oh, I'd love to. Trust me, I'd love to sleep.
Like, yeah, I'm cool. I'm cool. I'll sleep then too, you know.
Yeah, no, I totally get you. I'll gladly take a nap right now, but I don't have that luxury, unfortunately. I wish I did.
I'm usually such a night owl, like such a night owl, and so waking up early is just not my strong suit. It's nice to see the morning, but it was, I mean, all the years of grade school and high school, I remember they were physically painful because it's just not my schedule.
So in your downtime, you know, you just talked about how you got another web series that you're working on. What do you do just to unwind, relax, and just kind of enjoy what's around you? What do you do in your free time?
Oh, my favorite thing, I love going to the beach or going, you know, taking a drive, you know, up towards Malibu or Topanga Canyon, or that's kind of like, that's where my dog collar leash sort of like expands to, and then I get a little shock and I'm like, okay, time to go home any further and I'll have to spend the night away from my cat. So I just, but I love going up. I love being by the ocean. And that's one of the things that I love about LA.
Yeah, we're kind of spoiled in that regard, that we have this beautiful kind of just stress reliever right next to us.
I know. Where are you?
I am based in the LA area also. So literally just a 5-minute away from the beach.
Oh man. I mean, I'm a little further in.
I mean, if I could, I could probably throw a baseball to the beach, but I have to pick it up and chuck it a couple more times because I haven't, you know, not as in shape as I used to be.
I'd have to throw a baseball 5 times.
There you go. That's with a really good throw.
I'd have to have it easy.
So going from a bigger production to kind of a smaller production, was the mindset similar? Was it a little bit different? I mean, obviously you had less people to deal with. You had, you know, obviously more creative control as you were describing, but going from you mentioned again, Loss, going from a show like that to something like this, again, was the mindset different? Was it just the same approach? Did you have to look at it differently?
You have to, I was in a completely different position, you know, in the video than I was in Loss to begin with. But then, yeah, to be in something small, you have to approach it in the same way. You have to have the same roles filled. Maybe you're not paying them as much, meaning, you know, like, you know, you have your costume designer, you have your AD, you have, you know, well, no, we didn't have an AD. we didn't even have an AC. We had a DP. I'm like throwing out all these letters. Anyway, we had a definitely a pared down crew, but everybody who we hired, you know, knows their job and they know what they're doing. So in a strange way, it's not that different, you know. Everybody just knows their job, which is really one of the beautiful things about making films or making TV, where you fill these certain roles. It's like they're members of the cast, you know, you have these roles in the script and then you have these roles on the crew and then you fill the roles on the crew and it's its own production, you know, and everyone is necessary. There might be one or two unnecessary people, but now that I'm working on something and I'm like, you know, now that I'm producing it, I'm like, actually, they're not unnecessary at all. We do need someone to scrape the gum off the sidewalk. You know, that is necessary. Maybe not, because I'm always just like coming from New York and theater. I'm like, I'll do it myself. But you don't want to be doing that when you're rewriting, you know, so it makes sense.
Those are the guys you got to watch closely, because every time you look at them, they might not be working, saying they're on a quote unquote break, but reality, that break just lasts 10 hours in the day.
Hey, gum scraper, get back there.
There you go. And not to put down the gum scrapers, they have a job too, and they do it well.
Exactly. If they had a job, that would be kind of gross.
It's a job. I mean, I'll take it. I'll take the money wherever I can. It's Los Angeles. What are you going to do?
I love people who show up and they're like, "Yeah, I'm a cloud watcher. Yeah, I'm forecasting by the and then they come and they eat your catering."
Yeah, well, yeah, they're invited. Someone invited them, and everyone's just like, who's that guy? I don't know.
That does get tricky sometimes, because you wonder if they're just filling slots so their friends get a little bit of a paycheck at the end of the day. You're like, really? Do we really need that?
Yeah, it's so funny, because that's actually how Steven Spielberg got his start. He would walk by... he would walk by a movie... No, not gum scraping. He would walk by a movie studio on his way home from school, I think it was, and he got to know the security guard that was there, and he just happened to one day say, hey, I'm on set today. And the guy said, all right, let him in, and he worked like a full day as a PA, or a personal assistant, and nobody knew who he was until someone pointed right at him and was like, you're not on my payroll. Who are you?
That's hilarious.
Little known fact. That's how Steven Spielberg got his show there.
Good for Stevie.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, that's Stevie. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. You can understand my confusion. So you've had the luxury of having a couple of series, let's say, where they have this really big following, this really big lore that really doesn't just kind of go away. I mean, the Twilight series was huge with the teenage audience. You have Lost, which is huge with everybody. Mm-hmm. How frequent is it where people come up to you and say, hey, you're from one of those, that show or that movie? And is it just one
of
those?
Rarely.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, well, you see who I am in the video, and then, you know, compare that to Nadia. So it's like, it's a completely different, you know, just face, you know, just the whole expression and carriage and everything is just, you know, God, I'm sounding so self-important. But it's like, they're just, everything is very different, like, with the two of them, you know what I mean? And when I think that I honestly believe that half of acting is energy, and just when you change your energy, you kind of look different. It's funny. It's like, you know, or you just go into a different place in your own body when you're playing different roles. So that, and I also, as you can tell from the video, I have a very rubbery face. I make a lot of expressions, and I'm very I'm very expressive.
Yeah, when Underwear Man 3 walks in the scene, you know, it takes a whole different turn from there.
Exactly. So I just, you know, I think that people see me on the street and they expect Nadia, if they're gonna recognize Nadia, but they don't recognize me. And in Breaking Dawn, that's so difficult because, you know, we all had the eyes and we all were so serious and, you know, it's not like I really had a lot to do in that movie. I was on location for like 4 months, but you know, that's a Christian and Rob, Kristen and Rob movie, you know, and Taylor, and that's who the people want to see. So we were sort of we were almost like, you know, furniture, which is fine. We all knew it going in, you know, but we're here to kind of like fill roles in in the book, because we were characters in the book, so that we, you know, and it was very exciting to bring in all the different covens from the different, you know, countries for the epic battle scenes and everything. And it was really interesting. It was an interesting experience. I wouldn't say it was like the most creative experience, because there wasn't a lot I couldn't give a lot of personal input, you know what I mean? But it was fun. I mean, it was fun getting the hair put on and the eyes and giving Blue Steel all the time.
and Blue Steel it was, or Magnum. Was it Magnum? That's the other big one too.
Oh yeah, no, that was my second.
There you go.
I'm gonna put those on my resume.
Very
good. Now I know how to do them. But so, I mean, and Nadia was super fun. I mean, I loved that show. But again, you know, I really wanted her storyline to you know, be more conducive, and they just don't have the time. They've got all these people they have to deal with. They have, you know, the series regulars who their storylines probably they feel underused. So they gave me as much time as they could. You know, it wasn't the Nadia show, but as an actor, you really want to, you know, it's like, oh man, you invest 6 years in this character, you know. It really, it's so, that was another part of the genesis of, and this all started because you asked if I get recognized.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, it's...
And the answer is no, I don't, very rarely. And when I do, I really like it.
You know, it's great to hear something like that. It's a very good point, because with a show, you know, like Lost, there were so many characters and so many different elements being brought in that it's almost like it was a challenge for the writers to say, which character haven't we spoken about in 3 or 4 episodes? We need to bring them back in and, you know, maybe introduce a new plot line or tie them in somehow. You know,
or
so
even like just, you know, mention them for 5 seconds, you know.
A montage or something, yeah.
Yeah, just like, I mean, just a little something, because even the people who they haven't talked about in, you know, however many weeks, they're still working on the storyline that they have going on, so they'll just, like, bring something in about it. And it's a real balancing act. I did not envy them, you know.
Yeah, writing is definitely difficult, especially when there's so many different elements and so many different things that you have to incorporate, whereas a smaller production or just something where you have 3 or 4, you know, main characters and everyone else is secondary, it's much easier to split the time and say, all right, we can do this person, we can bring this person in, we can, you know, implement this storyline.
Oh, completely. And that's one of the reasons that I think season 1 was so badass, because that they were able to just kind of focus on a specific group of people. And that was, I know that a lot of people just love the spread, and they love the Dharma, and they love the others, and they love the Tailies, and they love the Fradies, and they love, you know, all these different elements to it. And I found it difficult to follow after a while, but, you know, math is hard. I know that some people, you know, can split logarithms in their head, and I'm just not one of them. I wanted to find out more about, you know, like Kate's first husband. You know, that was that's something that I found, like, hard to follow.
Yeah, math, nah, no thanks.
No, math, God. But then again, it's sci-fi, and in sci-fi you have to pay attention. And people, that's part of sort of the culture of sci-fi, that, you know, people have theories, and there are alternate universes, and there are, you know, there are crossovers and all this stuff. So it might just be I'm a little too right-brained, because, like I said, I was like, where's Vincent?
It was almost like a new age Star Trek, because the littlest details were being expanded online, and people were almost creating their own, you know, secondary story to go with everything. I mean,
totally.
One thing, example, like I saw, you know, there's a scene where someone's flipping through a notebook and in the show, and somebody pulls out and says, oh, I can see the writing on the back of the notebook, and they decipher that and what it means. I'm just like, who has the time for this?
I know. And bless their hearts, but I promise you the prop department did not have that in mind.
Yeah, this is, there's a guy who got paid, you know, $15 an hour. He's like, I just wrote a bunch of stuff. I don't know what it means. I wrote the first names I could think of.
Completely. And you know, God bless. That's why the fandom was amazing and is amazing. I mean, I love Lost fans. I really love them. They're really, and don't get me wrong, I love Twilight fans too, but it's just a different breed. It's just like, you know, Lost fans are very cerebral, but they're very smart and they're very generous. Like, they're on your side for life now. It's like, you know, now we're in a, you know, a marriage. It's funny. You can just be on that show once and they feel like an affinity for you. I don't know if it's so much the same in Twilight, since those three main guys were so, you know, dominant. But I mean, and they're young. So I mean, I kind of wonder, as they get older, well, you know, will it be as important to them? Do you know what I mean? Like, because it's, you know, when you have something that was important to you when you were 13 or 14 or 15, you know, now you're like, oh, okay, whatever. You know, so I'm wondering if it'll stay with them. I guess time will tell. But with sci-fi, they were already adults.
Yeah, very true. And I think part of it is, you know, the Twilight series were books beforehand, so it's kind of, you know, front to end, that's it. That's the story. And yes, you can create more stuff with it, but with any type of TV show, you know, you can easily say like, oh, well, we only know what happened in this time period. And correct, there were hints here and there as far as what could or could not have happened. So it just leaves it open, like we were talking about earlier, that creative mind to just expand and just go crazy with it.
Yeah, completely. Completely. And I mean, that, Stephanie Myers, she really made a universe out of Twilight. I mean, she wrote this book of everyone's, like, every coven's backstory, and, you know, it was really interesting because she knew all this stuff, and I went on, and, you know, we were not aware. It's kind of like the same thing with Lost, except Stephanie will tell you, and they wouldn't tell you. I don't know if they knew, but they wouldn't tell you anything. Not that I ever asked. I'm just like, oh, don't worry, I'll make it up. I'll figure it out. The one that got me kind of like, okay, what do I do here, was the Sideways in season 6.
Okay.
That I didn't really, I wasn't sure how to play that because, so had I been an insurgent, if that was the case, like, when did things change, or were they always different? Was I like a different version? I mean, I was still myself, but without the experiences that I had in the general timeline, would I be exactly the same? So that was a little hard to play because we didn't even know what was going on. We just knew it was like an alternate reality.
So is that one of those moments where you just flip the script, you're reading it, and then, you know, a couple pages later you go, wait a minute, you go back and like, oh, okay, I guess.
Well, I mean, everyone thought initially it was what would have happened if the plane landed, right?
Right.
So I kind of like that. I would have loved to see that. I guess they wanted to make it different enough and then tie it into the end. But, you know, it got confusing because things were different, you know. It was kind of like, it was a little wonky. It freaked me out. The plane landed, but everybody's different and everyone's lives, and the people are different in their own lives. It was just weird.
Yeah, and the thing that, I mean, you got to give it credit for a show like that. Like, they made it interesting just by doing random cuts here and there. And I'm sitting here like, I got to rewind this show 4 or 5 times just to make sure I think I understand what I'm watching here.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And so, but as an actor, that was difficult to play because I wasn't sure. I mean, Nadia was still obviously in love with Saeed, but like, when did I start dating the brother, you know?
Yeah, I totally get you.
It's like, so how did that happen? Was he still in the Republican Guard? Like, just, and you just had to make it up. So I made up that, no, I had not been, like, I had not been in prison. I had not been an insurgent. Because I went with the brother, I was sort of like a more tame version of myself. I was still myself, but I was not quite the little fighter. You know what I mean?
You were yourself, but not yourself.
Right, exactly. So I made the choice that, you know, being married to the brother, he kind of like kept me more docile, and then we came over together. But, you know, I was always in love with Saeed, so that was the way that I pieced it together. But in that version, I had not been arrested. I was not an insurgent. I was not Rebel Nadia.
Man, it's a good thing this show is old. We'll always be super spoilers here. If you haven't watched the show yet,
I feel like I could just like go crazy with it now that it's only been 4 years.
I can't remember what show it was, but it's, you know, it was like 5-10 years past, and I was finally watching it just because I, you know, Netflix and Hulu and all that stuff. And somebody was like, "Oh, you're watching this show? Isn't it great when, you know, insert series finale here?" I'm just like, "Well, okay, cool. I guess I can't be upset considering how, you know, how much time has passed."
Oh yeah. For everyone who's going to start watching this on Hulu, don't listen to this entire conversation.
Yeah, exactly. Go to Hulu first and then have the conversation. There you go.
You should have a warning before the interview and say, if you have not seen Lost and intend to do so, do not listen to the following.
But see, at that point, I feel like, oh, by the way, Darth Vader, Luke's father, yeah, sorry. It's like
I know. It's like how many years? How long are we supposed to like coddle the people who haven't seen it? Come on now.
Exactly. I always say if it's a new movie, you know, as long as it's in theaters and, you know, the new DVD is coming out, something like that. TV shows, I usually give it 6 months.
Yeah.
And everyone's usually caught up. By that time the DVR's caught up and unfilled.
Exactly. Oh yeah. And that girl in the Crying Game is a guy.
Yeah, exactly. What? No!
Yes!
There's no point in moving on now. There really isn't. So your music video, Clever Girl, I was able to watch it through a private link. Is there any idea when this will be coming out for the general public to view?
Well, it's going to remain on YouTube. You just go to YouTube, Andrea Gabriel, Clever Girl. I found out that there's like a lot of other Clever Girls if you pop it up sometimes, like, you know, Jurassic Park will come on. That sequence with the raptor.
That's the main one, yeah.
but just go to YouTube, Andrea Gabriel, Clever Girl, and then, you know, watch it 100 times and share it. Like, post it on your wall and stuff, you know, just, it's clever. It's nice to have kind of the tables turned on the female eye candy standard, you know?
I hear you. And, well, I mean, I understand where you're
not
coming
for
from.
You.
Yeah, exactly. Not for me. I understand where you're coming from with that.
Oh, my eyes.
If people want to get more information, follow you, you know, all kinds of stuff like that, social media, do you have anything you'd like to plug in?
Yeah, go to A Gabriel Tweets. That's my handle on Twitter, A Gabriel Tweets. And on Facebook, it's just Andrea Gabriel, obviously. And I'm very accessible on Facebook and Twitter. Like, if you reach out to me, and I handle all of them myself, I'm the Vin Diesel of the under million fans set. So if you reach out to me, I can get back to you. I don't know how many free 8x10s I can send out, but I try to, you know, if people ask me for them, I try to. At least on my Facebook page. So
I am the Vin Diesel. I love that quote.
I am Vin Diesel.
I am gonna use that. Another spoiler. Thanks a lot for that. Andrea Gabriel, thank you so much for joining us here on the Geek Legacy Lounge. I really do appreciate the time. Great conversation and a lot of fun.
Oh, yay. Thanks so much. Likewise.
Not a problem. And you enjoy the rest of your day.
In another life, if not in this one, right?
What's that?
I said, in another life, if not in this one.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. In some other time.
One more spoiler just before I go.
Oh, that'll do it. Thank you.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. I want to thank Andrea Gabriel for joining us here on the Geek Legacy Lounge. Be sure to follow her on Twitter, @AGabrielTweet, as well as like her Facebook fan page by simply searching for Andrea Gabriel. And be sure to check out her new music video for the song Clever Girl, which you can find on YouTube. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for tuning in. Stay fabulous and keep your controllers charged.